Christ. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Exodus chapter 5. We have been in different parts of Exodus lately, and I just want to get into God's Word one more time and look and see what God has for us today. So Exodus chapter 5, we're just going to look at four verses this morning, the first four of the chapter, and it says this, Exodus 5:1, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.' And Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go.' And they said, 'The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' And the king of Egypt said unto them, 'Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people go from their works? Get you unto your burdens.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you once again for this day. Thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach. Lord, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would touch the ears and the hearts of those that are listening. And Lord, I pray that we could find truth from your word today. And Lord, I pray if any don't know Jesus Christ, that they would come to you for forgiveness of sins. Lord, any that are backslidden, confused, would find answers in you today. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to draw closer. Lord, for the time is drawing short. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Amen. All right, so by this time in the book of Exodus, Moses had fled Egypt. That happened in chapter 2, and he's tending his father-in-law Jethro's flock on the backside of the desert, and that's where he saw that burning bush, and God spoke to him. And it was at that point that God told Moses that he would send him to the children of Israel and to Pharaoh to send word that God would bring them out of Egypt with his mighty hand, because Pharaoh was going to be unwilling to let the people go. So Wednesday night, we looked at chapter 4 before this, and that's where God shows Moses several signs. One of the things he says is he's going to show him turning his rod into a serpent. And then right after those signs that God shows Moses, Moses starts to argue with God, and he says he's not an eloquent speaker and that he's slow of speech and slow of tongue. But God tells him just to go. He says, just go, and he would send Aaron to go with him. What we saw Wednesday night is we saw Moses, his excuses that came to the call of God. And you know, that happens to us as well. You know, God asked us to do something by faith, and then we a lot of times respond by excuse. But, you know, we are going to see that God will do exactly what he said he would do in Moses' life as long as Moses follows him by faith. So here we are in chapter 5. Now Moses and Aaron, they're going to Pharaoh for the first time. They're going to appear before Pharaoh multiple times throughout the book of Exodus, but this is the very first time. And one thing I want us to think about is, you know, Pharaoh, he is the ruler of Egypt, but he's not like a president that we would have or kind of a ruler of a lot of our countries today. He was the supreme ruler, so he would have been kind of like a king. He was the commander of Egypt. There was no other government that he had to answer to. But not only was he this supreme emperor, king type of person, they also considered Pharaoh in Egypt like a god. They considered him a god, and they would have worshipped him. This is the person that this Pharaoh is who Moses and Aaron, God sent them to this person that they saw of as like a god in Egypt. And see, Moses, remember, he grew up in Pharaoh's palace. He grew up in Egypt before he ran. And so it would have taken great courage to obey the Lord and to confront Pharaoh and to do these things that God had asked. But we see Moses and Aaron walking by faith and doing exactly what God called them to do. And you know, this is one of the things you see. When you do what God wants you to do, you watch God. He will do great things on his end. He will always fulfill his promises. So here we go. Afterward, it says in verse 1, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." So we see Moses and Aaron are bringing the Lord's message to Pharaoh. This wasn't their message. This wasn't their word. They didn't even, Moses didn't even want to go talk to Pharaoh at all. But the Lord's had sent this message. So Moses and Aaron were kind of like ambassadors. You know, they had two ambassadors that would carry the king's message from one king to another. And these two were ambassadors from the kingdom of heaven, from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They were bringing word to the kingdom of Egypt. Here is what God had to say. And as Christians, you and I, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Our job is to take the message that our King gives us and tell it to this world. And we need to say, "Thus saith the word of God." This isn't my word. This isn't something man created. This is God's word. And as an ambassador for Jesus Christ, we're to take God's word, exactly what he said, out into this world. It's not our message, because if it was my message, it would only be as powerful as I am. But I'm glad the word of God, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is so powerful. It can change men and women's hearts, and I'm thankful for that. But when that message comes from Almighty God, it has all the power of heaven behind it, and I'm thankful for that. But here was the message that God asked Moses and Aaron to take to Pharaoh. It was this: "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And see, the children of Israel, they were slaves. They were in bondage to Egypt, and they were under Pharaoh. But you notice something, God, what did God say? He said, "Let my people go." So God was telling Pharaoh right off the bat that these people, although you may have control over them right now physically, these are my people, and I want you to let my people go. That's what he's telling them. These people belong to me. That's what God is saying. They should be able to go free and to worship me. So even though God intended to free the children of Israel from the Egyptians, that first request that we see was that they could travel 3 days into the desert and worship the Lord. So you think about this. It had been a three-day journey into the desert. They'd have worshiped maybe for a day and then made a three-day journey backwards. So at minimum a week, maybe a little longer, they were going to be away from Egypt and away from Pharaoh. And you think about it. They had been serving for 400 years by this point, a little more than that, and Pharaoh, they were just asking Pharaoh to go for 1 week, just 1 week, to go worship their Lord and worship their God, but Pharaoh wouldn't let him. We'll see that in this passage. Pharaoh would not let them go. And you think about this. We don't have a Pharaoh reigning over us today. We don't have a king like that that has complete control over us as slaves. We're not in that situation. But I want you to stop and think for a moment. How hard does the devil fight to prevent you and I from worshiping God? That was his problem right here. He did not want to let God's people go worship God. And you think about it, what harm would it be for them just to travel away into the desert to worship their God and to come back? You realize something? The devil knows that we need to worship the Lord to grow in faith. He knows that when we worship God, it will encourage us. It'll draw us closer to God. And the devil will do anything to stop us from worshiping. In fact, he'll try to convince you and I that it won't affect us if we just miss one service. But let me ask you this question. If it's really no big deal to miss one service, then why does the devil fight so hard to get you to miss going to the Lord's house, to get you to miss assembling together? Why would he do that? Because he knows the power that that there is when God's people come together and we worship Jesus Christ and we open the Bible, just like we're doing today. You know, the snow is trying to hold us back. And I think about that, you know, before COVID. COVID hit and before we really got all the technology in order like we have today, if we would have had a snow day like this, we would have canceled and there'd have been no sermon, there would have been no nothing. But I say thank the Lord that He, you know, pushed us to get this technology going, pushed us to learn how to do it. And now a little bit of snow, we might not be able to go into the building, but we can come together and use this technology and we can worship God. See, the devil would have, he would love nothing better than for us to just close the doors or for us to stay away, but I'm glad that we can still learn about God. We can still open God's Word. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 says this, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised." Amen. I like that. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works, not forsaking the assemblings of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." God tells us that it is more important for us to assemble together and to worship than it even was yesterday. The closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more important it is to worship God. And that coming together, it builds our faith. It keeps us from wavering in our faith. And I like what it says. It helps us to provoke one another into love and into serving God. And that provoking is like stirring up the coals to get the fire going again. I don't know about you. There's been times where I've come into the Lord's house and I've been down. I've been depressed. I've been hurting. I've been troubled. I've been fearful and sometimes even a little sick. And I get in there and I start to get around the brethren. We start to sing the songs. We start to pray and we start to praise God. And I start to get lifted up and I can just feel those coals getting stirred up and that fire coming back into my bones. And I tell you what, that is why the devil doesn't want us to come together. That's why the devil wants us to quit, is because he knows when we come together, we exhort one another. We build one another up. We encourage one another to live righteously and walk by faith and do God's will and not to quit. That's why he fights so hard. But he's saying all they wanted to do was worship. But let's look at Pharaoh's answer, his first one in verse 2. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" You see, Pharaoh is asking them a question. And you know, I thought about it. Isn't it sad that they've been in bondage for about 400 years and they've held the children of Israel, God's people, captive, and Pharaoh didn't even know the name of their God? You know, that's sad today. That's sad that people around us would, the same thing would happen. That all this time would pass, that someone that we are close to, that they know us, that we've been around, maybe family member, friend, coworker, friend, classmate at school, would be around us for years and years and not really know who Jesus Christ is. That's sad. But that was the thing. He didn't know the name of their God. But you know, Pharaoh was really, he was asking the right question. Who is the Lord? See, Egypt, they had invented many gods. They'd invented gods for different things and kind of patterned them after animals. You know, you've seen the different works that they made and pyramids and sphinx and all these things and all the pictures that they have inside of those ruins. But he's asking the question. I know a lot of gods is what he's saying, but who is the Lord that you're talking about? You know, if the world is asking the question, just like Pharaoh did, who is Jesus? We need to tell them who the real Jesus is. Now, it would have gotten offensive to, especially to Pharaoh. Can you imagine them telling Pharaoh that there is a God and he will let us go and he's the only true God? See, Pharaoh thought he was a God, but he was wrong. And men and women, they may not call themselves a God, but they act as if the whole universe surrounds them. And I'm here to tell you, I'm glad there's a higher power and I'm glad there's a Lord that came down to earth from heaven. Jesus Christ, he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, and he preached and he taught, and one of the things he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's not many ways, there's one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ, and he died on the cross for our sins. While we were yet sinners, he died for us, and then he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, so that we could call on his name. If the world world is asking who Jesus is, we need to tell them. And we need to tell them the truth about Jesus Christ. But he's asking, who is the Lord? Who is this God, you know, that I should let them go? Why should I do that? I don't even know who this God is. Look at verse 3. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice unto the Lord our God. And so they're asking, they're saying, he didn't know. Pharaoh didn't know the name of their God. So Moses said, the God of the Hebrews. He said, you may not have heard Jehovah. You may not have heard Lord or whatever. But the God of the Hebrews, our God, is the one that met with us. And he's the one that said, we need to go into the desert to worship him. And see, Moses at this point, he is repeating what God told him in Exodus 3:18. See, he said, basically, the God of the Hebrews is saying, let them go. Let them go 3 days' journey. That's what he said in 3:18. And remember in the last chapter on Wednesday night, Moses was, he was giving God excuses. He said, I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm slow of tongue. And God made him a promise in Exodus 4:12. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. God said, I will take care of the words. I'll give you the words that you need to say. I'll put them in my mouth. I'll give you Aaron to stand with you and be your spokesperson. And as soon as Moses and Aaron started walking by faith, God gave them exactly what words to say. And I say, praise God. When you and I, when we step out in faith, God will provide. He will provide grace and strength and mercy. Everything that he promised, God will provide. I'll tell you what, you'll learn more about God than you will sitting down when you stand up and you walk by faith. Praise God. There's God giving him exactly what he needs to say to Pharaoh. But look at Pharaoh's his decision here in verse 4. It says, the king of Egypt said unto them, wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? You know what he's asking? He's asking a question. He's saying, why should I let them stop working? Why should I? They're making brick. They're building treasure cities. They're doing these things. The Bible says, why should they stop? Why should I have them stop, even just for a few days' journey out in the desert to worship their God? He's saying basically it would be a waste of time. And then he tells them, get back into your burdens, get back to work. And in the next few verses beyond the passage that we read later on in the chapter, in fact, he will take away the straw and he'll say, I want you to make the same number of bricks as when we provided the straw. And the taskmasters that were over them were beating them, and life got harder after this moment. But here we see that Moses and Aaron are visiting Pharaoh, and they're doing what God told them to do, and Pharaoh decides not to let the people go. He said, no, I'm not letting you go, not even for a week, not even for a few days out in the desert. He says, I don't know the name of your God. And you know what? He wasn't afraid of the God of the Hebrews, and he decides, I'm not letting them go. You know, the whole reason, you may think about this passage and say, you know what, this passage seems pretty straightforward. You know, maybe I've heard it before, I've read it before, it seems straightforward. But you know, when I was really looking at this and praying about it, and I thought, and I said, you know what, Lord, something is missing from this chapter. Something that we see that is mentioned over and over again, both before and after this chapter in the book of Exodus. It's one thing that we see that's not mentioned here is there's not a single time that the Bible mentions that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And you're thinking, well, what does that matter? What does that really matter? I'll tell you, there are Christian people and groups of Christians that believe that men and women aren't able to make any choices. They're saying that God is sovereign, which I agree. He is in control. God's in control of this world. He hasn't handed it over. This world isn't out of his reaches, but God is in control. But even though God is sovereign and he is ruler over all, they would say that means that God makes every single choice, that you and I, we don't make any choices, that we're just kind of along for the ride, so to speak. And when they see the passages where it says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's one of the main arguments that they use. They say, you know what? Pharaoh never had a choice. You know, all he did was God hardened his heart and did exactly what God said he would do. And see, here's the problem. People will look at God and say the fact that he can see the future and he knows the future and he's in control. So that means since he knows the future and he's in control, that man has no choice. But you know what? Let's look at what the Bible really says. And I'm going to pull up three passages right here on the screen, and we'll just look at what the Bible says. You know, sometimes men, they create doctrine, they create what they say God is and how he acts, but I say instead of having doctrine drive us, let's have the Word of God drive how we understand how God works. So in the chapter before, it says this in Exodus 4:21, "And the Lord said unto Moses, when thou goest to return unto Egypt, see that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand, but I will harden his heart, that he should not let the people go." So in the chapter before we read, chapter 4, God is giving Moses the whole plan, basically, that he will confront Pharaoh, and that God's plan is that the children will go free. So he tells him about the plagues that are to come. He tells him about the Passover. And then here in chapter 4, verse 21, he says, "I will harden his heart." Now, there's no question that God will harden Pharaoh's heart in the future. He will send plagues in the future, and he will free the children of Israel through his mighty hand. God will do all of these things. But the question is, you look at when he says, "I will do it." Well, when will he do it? Because we know that by the time chapter 5 rolled around, the plagues hadn't happened yet. But God said, "I will do that." And so let's keep going on. The rest of chapter 5, after the passage that we read, the children of Israel get mad at Moses and Aaron because their work got harder. They had to make the same number of bricks as before, but instead of being given straw, they had to go out and find the straw and the stubble and everything throughout the land. So life got much harder for the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 5. So here's what happens in Exodus chapter 6 after that. Moses goes back to the Lord and is basically like, "Lord, what's going on? You told me to do this, and now the children of Israel are mad at me because the fact that we went before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh got angry and made our lives harder." So he's talking to the Lord, and the Lord's talking to him. And then in chapter 7, God starts to give Moses and Aaron more instructions about going to Pharaoh the second time. So let's look at that middle verse, Exodus 7:3. "I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and I multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." So God again repeats the plan that he says he's going to do. And he says yet again, he says, "I will harden Pharaoh's heart." You know what Exodus 7:3 doesn't say? It doesn't say, "I have already hardened Pharaoh's heart," because he hadn't done it yet. So look what happens. So the second, later on in Exodus chapter 7, Moses and Aaron will go before Pharaoh. Again, this is the second time that they go in front of him. Exodus chapter 5 is the first time. So in the second meeting, that is when Aaron casts down the rod that he's holding. It becomes a serpent, and the magicians are able to kind of copy the miracle, if you will. But remember, Aaron's serpent eats up all the magician's serpents. And then they pick it back up, and Aaron now has his rod again. But here's what God's word says. Exodus 7:13, right after that, the rod turning into a serpent, right after that happened, Exodus 7:13, look what it says. "And he," this is talking about God, "he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them," that he wouldn't listen, "as the Lord had said." This is important right here. See, this is the second meeting that Moses and Aaron have went to Pharaoh, and this time God hardens his heart. You know what that tells me? In Exodus chapter 5, the first time, God hadn't hardened his heart yet. See, God gave him a choice. God gave him free will to the opportunity to let the people go, but because of his pride, because of his power, because he thought he was a god, because because he didn't know about the Lord, because he didn't care, whatever the reasoning or combination of those things, he decided not to let them go free. And you know, God has been giving us choices since the beginning. In fact, we go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and Adam and Eve were given they were allowed free reign of the garden except for one tree. And he gave them a choice whether they were going to obey or disobey. And unfortunately, Adam and Eve chose to disobey. But that was their free will. And you're thinking, Mike, why is this important? Why is it important that we look at what point God hardened Pharaoh's heart? Because I believe that before chapter 7, verse 13, before the rod turning into a serpent, in the time that passed between Exodus chapter 5 and at that point in Exodus chapter 7, Pharaoh could have changed his mind. Pharaoh could have made the decision to let the people go, but it was only until 7:13 that God hardened his heart. So he had the free will. He could make the choice. He could say, you know what, go. Or maybe he'd say, no, I don't want to go. But then he'd have a change of heart the next day and say, you know what, I'm going to let you guys go. And God would have allowed that to happen. He had free will. But see, God knew. Because remember, God can see the future. He knows the decision. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. He knows what we're going to do in the future. But he still gives us the free will to make our choices. And listen, Pharaoh made his choice in chapter 5. He didn't change his choice in chapter 7, and then God hardened his heart. What does that mean? Basically like cement. You know, you watch that truck pull up the cement truck, and they pour the cement into the mold. They get it into the frame. They smooth it out. They do everything they want, and then it will sit there, and it will harden. Now, when cement hardens, it doesn't change its shape. It doesn't go from being flat to a set of stairs. It will harden exactly how they put it that way, unless somebody walks across it and messes it up. But it will harden the way it was there laid into the form. And that's the same thing with a hardened heart. Pharaoh had made up his mind. He had made his choice. He didn't care about the God of the Hebrews. He didn't care about what the Lord said. He didn't care that they were God's people and not his people. He thought the work was too much. The work was more important than letting them go, even to worship for a week. He was free to make that choice. But once he made that choice, and two chapters later, the next visit of Moses and Aaron, God hardened his heart. God cemented that choice in place. And you know what? He is sovereign. I believe he's also given us the free will to choose and to make choices. And I'm telling you, especially the choice that men have to accept or reject Jesus Christ. You've got the choice to accept or reject him. But here's the other truth. Just because God gives us free will to make choices, that doesn't mean that you and I will get as many times and as many chances to make a different choice. See, Pharaoh, I believe, really got one choice, one chance to make that choice, one chance to really decide whether it was going to be the God, whether he was going to obey God, or whether he was going to reject God altogether. And he made that choice in Exodus chapter 5, and then God cemented it in place. You know what's scary? Is I believe that there are men and women. Now a lot of people have gotten multiple chances to turn to Jesus Christ. You know, God's touched their heart. They've heard the gospel, you know, whether it's preached or witnessed or testified, and the Holy Spirit touched their heart and realized that they were a sinner, and they were like, you know what? I need to choose Jesus Christ. But some have rejected. And if you reject Jesus Christ, I can't promise you that you will get another chance. If God is touching your heart today, I can't promise you that if you reject him today, you will get another chance later on in your life. I can't promise you that, because we don't know when our lives will end. The Bible says our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away, just like steam rolling off a pot and disappears. Our lives are short. We don't don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when the Lord's going to come back. These are all unknowns. We don't know when they will happen. We just know that they will happen. One way or another, we're going to run out of time. But also the other danger is that God could harden your heart and you could hear the gospel again and it just not even move you. See, that's what happens. If you continue to go through Exodus, turning the rod into the serpent was just a small thing that God showed, was showing his power to Pharaoh. All those plagues that would happen, God would show mighty power and show that each one of those gods that the Egyptians had invented were powerless over the God of Israel. But no matter what happened, Pharaoh's heart was still hardened and it got harder and harder and harder. And that's the sad thing. If the Lord is touching your heart today, you need to turn to him before it's too late. And if you're a Christian person and God is asking you to do something, you need to do it while your heart is still soft. I tell you what, it breaks my heart when people just will ignore God and will reject God's will in their life and they'll just do their own thing. And I look at their heart and it's just hard, and it's sad because God wants, he gave us a new heart, he gave us a new life, he's forgiven us of our sins so that we can serve him, and then we want to continue to serve ourselves. We need to choose Jesus today. We need to serve him today, and I'm here to tell you, I'm glad. I don't know how many chances God gave me to choose him. I'm glad God gave me another choice. I say praise God for that, but I tell you what, at 9 years old, I heard the gospel, and I grew up in church. I'd heard it many times. I'd heard about Jesus many times, but one night Jesus Christ touched my heart, and that was the Holy Spirit doing that, and I realized that I was a sinner, and I realized that if I were to die in my sin, I would go to hell, because that was the truth of God's word. But I also knew that Jesus Christ died for my sin on the cross and the sins of this world. And I knew that if I would call on Jesus' name, he would save me. And I took that little bit of faith in our living room in Ashley, and I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And he did. But I don't know if that touch that I remember so clearly all these years later, if I would have ignored that, I don't know if I would have gotten another chance. I'm not guaranteed that. And neither are you. But aren't you glad that God, if he's touching your heart today, he wants a relationship with you, but you're going to have to turn from the ways of this world. You're going to have to turn from self-centeredness. You're going to have to turn from being your own God like Pharaoh was, and you're going to have to turn to Jesus Christ. He will save your soul today. You choose Jesus today, and don't let the devil convince you that you have all the time in the world to make another choice. You may not. I'm here to tell you, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. And I believe that similar things have happened. You can see it in the Bible. Judas made a choice to betray Jesus Christ. And later on, I believe his heart got hard as well, to where he wanted to undo it, but he just couldn't. He wouldn't turn to Jesus for forgiveness after that. And he ended up committing suicide. We see different things in the Bible, but I'm here to tell you, I believe that God is sovereign. I believe he does know the future, and I believe he knows whether you will choose him or whether you will reject him. But here's the thing, he will give you a choice. It is God's will that all men would turn to him for salvation, and I'm here to tell you, it is not too late to choose Jesus today. If he is talking to your heart, if God's touching your heart, that's not me. I don't know who you are. I may know you, but I don't know he's touching your heart right now. I'm just looking at a computer screen. I don't know who's online. I don't know who's being touched, but God does. That's God talking to you. And I'm telling you what, if you're a Christian person today and he's asking you to do something, you do it today. You step out in faith, and just like Moses and Aaron, he'll give you the words to say. He'll give you everything you need. And I'm here to tell you, before it's too late, before life is wasted, choose Jesus. Serve Jesus. It is better than anything else you can ever imagine. I'm here to tell you, we serve a good God, a merciful Savior. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of us serving him. Quit serving the world. Quit serving the devil. I'm here to tell you the devil doesn't want you to worship. Why? Because he knows what will happen when you worship God. The devil doesn't want you to come to Jesus because he knows that he will change your life. The devil doesn't want you to serve Jesus. Why? Because he knows it'll strengthen your faith. It'll build you up and you'll learn more and more about him. And his temptation will have less power over you. And the flesh will have less power over you. And you can continue to serve the Lord. I'm glad that I chose Jesus, but I'm more glad that he chose me and that he saved me and he died for my sins. He is sovereign. He is loving. He is compassionate, but he'll give you the choice. But if you reject Jesus Christ today, you'll die in your sins. You could die in your sins. If you die today lost, you will spend eternity in hell. That's what the Bible says. And that's not because God has a list of people that he is forcing to go to heaven and forcing to go to hell. He knows the choices that you and I will make, and he knows those that will reject Jesus. He knows that ahead of time. Just the same way he was able to show John what heaven would look like later on after the church is in heaven, and then later on after the tribulation, he shows the apostle John, he shows him what heaven will look like in the book of Revelation. Why? That's easy for God, because he already sees the end from the beginning. But I'm telling you, you turn to God today. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I don't know who you're touching today. I don't know who, Lord, your Holy Spirit, I don't know who your Spirit is touching today. But Lord, I pray that if they would just realize they're a sinner, because you said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and just realize that Jesus Christ, that you died for our sins. And Lord, I pray that if they believe those things and they're ready to turn from their life and turn to you, Lord, I pray that they would just call on Jesus' name, ask you to forgive them of their sins today, before it's too late, before their heart is hardened, before they change their mind, and before the devil steals away and gets them to focus on something else. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. And in Jesus' name we pray, and amen.